Amen. Oh, man, I love that. I could go home right now. I'm not, but wonderful, guess. Wonderful. Wow. That blessed you too. I was watching you, Brother John. That's a man, what a blessing. Man, that was good. Oh boy, hearts are full. This will be our last, the Lord's Day, together before Christmas this year. And I, for one, I'm glad to be around to share it with you. Amen. The church of my heart. My heart. And not only that, but also to have my wife, girlfriend, and all-around good girl, Dory, with me and with our family to celebrate this Christmas. We had our family Christmas last night, and it was a winner. The Andrew Boyd family finally went through the cleaners with a stomach bug. And it did seem like all the kids, they grew at least 2 inches when they showed up at the house there, you know. The last 2 weeks really have put me into more of an experience of a wifeless man. No wonder God says, not good that man should be alone. And I was most miserable without her. And I'm man enough to admit it. I was dreadfully sad and missed her. And I feel like we need to welcome her back to New Heights Baptist Church. But saying that, she's leaving today. Again, to go back out to San Angelo, to West Texas, her hometown, to make arrangements for the funeral service of her dear mother, Ann Privet. Brother Colin and I will be driving down in the morning and Tuesday, hold the services there in honor of this good Christian woman. Her life, man, it certainly wasn't an easy life. But she made no demands for it to be easy, but rather that God would give her the strength to climb the mountains in front of her. Yeah, that's the type of woman she was. And he did, and she did. She did not desire to be a casual Christian, nor did she desire to be a compromising Christian. She is to be praised in the house of God. The promise of the Messiah to include His blessings to we the Gentiles of the world was ancient news, yet great news, not only to the Gentiles, but also to the Jews. For God so loved the world. In the promise to Abraham by God, we see in Genesis 12, you can catch me there if you like. That's not our text, but I've got a little ways to go to get there. The Bible teaches us that all families, all men of the earth are to be blessed by the Lord's coming. At Genesis 12, 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth, you get that? All families of the earth to be blessed. That's good. Dr. Luke over in the New Testament, you would expect the doctor to be precise, and he was that. In Luke chapter 2, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jewish men, all people. So again, from Moses we read, and these shall all families of the earth be blessed. It tells me that even if you've not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still blessed by His coming. Without a doubt, you're blessed. And you would be even more blessed if you would accept the wonderful gift of Christmas, the wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness of your sins, if you would be so inclined. And you have to be so inclined because no one is pressed into heaven. Be they a Jew or a Gentile, no one is forced into heaven. Galatians 3, 7 through 9 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. You say, who are the heathen? Well, our fathers. preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now we're speaking of that faith, that particular faith that comes from the Word of God, not just any other book. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. That's a special one-of-a-kind book, the book of God. We continue in verse 13 of Galatians 3, which reads, God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16 of that same chapter says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Now let me run a little bit of a side trail. There is a division, not new, but there is a division among even conservatives. And it's the division over spiritual Israel and national Israel. And those, it seems, who are pressing for spiritual Israel can be a little bit too zealous without knowledge. They can even at times fall prey to anti-Semitism, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. But know this, it is again not either or, but both. 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 What Israel do you support? Well, it's sort of like when you ask radio, what kind of pie do you want? Both. He wants both. I want both. The Bible teaches us, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The only nation ever started by God in this world is Israel. You need to know that and write it down in bold print somewhere in your heart. And Israel shall not be left off of this list of nations in no way, form, or fashion. God forbid, for its role, of course, in the end times is of imminent importance to the human race and more importantly to God's plan for this planet. For this planet. God brought his nation back in 1948. Some of you were alive then. The nation of Israel. It was promised by God in the Bible that he would do so. In the Bible. So no matter who, what movement, or what other nations might come up against it, God will see that they ultimately fail and his nation will win. It will win. Does this mean his national Israel always does right? Well, it never has. What would make you think that has changed? I'd say no more than his spiritual Israel. They always do right too. I don't think so. Yet, then according to the scripture, the teaching of the Word of God, we stand for both. How about that? Both spiritual and national Israel, the country of Israel. Shall we demand every member of the Israeli nation do right? Only if we shall demand every member of every Christian church do right. How you like that? You don't have to support each individual's decision to support the whole. So you might ask, are you, Pastor, a Zionist? I think the better question is, am I on the Lord's side? Am I on God's side? I could not, and I will not, draw my sword against Israel. Nor will I side with those who make demands of her, which have not and could not perform to the level themselves. I'll have no part of it, any form or fashion. Now, in any nation, at most any time, you will find good men and evil men. And the same is true for any time, any country, or even any century. Even within nations at times, there are going to be groups that will rise up, and these groups can expand even beyond the nation, and the groups can and often do splinter out into two groups or even more as time rolls on. Such was the case with our group of interest today. And they were known as the Magi. The Magi. Now, in general, the Magi were specialists in medicine, astronomy, and other related fields. Some were good, and some were, well, frankly, they were bad. Not only bad, they were really bad. They were even at times called parasites, and at times even banished, being considered very evil astrologers. Now today we're going to primarily look at the men at the white hats. That's the good guys, in case you don't ever watch Westerns. That's the good guys. Now, it is truly this time of the year, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And first of these, wise men known as the Magi, the first of these men to kneel before the physical Lord and King of Kings, was these three that we're going to talk about, or maybe more. We don't really know how many. Now, I'm not saying that they were the first of men. No, they were not. I'm a firm believer in the honorable Joseph and Mary. Sometimes we want to esteem Mary, but leave Joseph out, throw him out through the dogs. I think that's very wrong. I think that's very wrong-headed. But since that time, billions of people, even kings, presidents, prime ministers, and potentates have paid their proper respects to the Lord. Both Jews and Gentiles have done so. These men, of course, are to be honored for the great efforts and homage paid to the now, of course, the risen Lord. This good morning, and it is a good morning, this is a great day. I'd like to invite you into their journey, and let's start in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, catch me in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did, that's obedience, right? As the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There's more than enough evidence right there to see that this is an honorable Joseph, by the way. In chapter 2, look at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, just as east, let's say far east, just east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child now. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. It's not the first time a politician has lied and won't be the last. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, this could have been a unique star. It could have a certain atmospheric body as we know it, or as some have suggested, this could be the Shekinah glory of God in the sky. And it would look for all practical purposes like what we think of as a bright star. It would refer, of course, to the radiant manifestation of God's divine presence. Yet the Bible just says star. So that's what we stay with, right? That's what we do. Now, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now here's the million-dollar question. How in the world does it seem that they knew more about this world-changing event, the first Noel, than the men and women of Israel? How do they seem to know so much more about this, even than the supposed religious crowd in Jerusalem? And that's a pretty good question. Do you think that's fair? Well, what do you think? It's fair or not? I'm still going to preach it. I'll tell you that right now. But just in case, just asking to be polite. It is amazing to me. Well, let's point out a few things about these wise men. Number one, the first thing I see here is these wise men listened to the word. They paid attention. Hear ye him. They listened to the word. The what word? The word they had. The scriptures. Now, listening to and hearing the Word of God is of great importance for our life. When we come to the house of God, we should be reading and we should be listening to God's eternal Word. That's the only way you're going to be saved, and that's the only way you're going to be sanctified. Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. It's important who you listen to. Again, you see that in Mark 9:7 and Luke 9:35. Now, the Old Testament scriptures was all anyone had, and not all had all of that. And they didn't. There's your proof. What these wise men did have, they listened to. What they did have, you get that? What they did have, they listened to. And they had available to them two pieces of this important puzzle they needed to find this promised one to come. Two major pieces. The first, the prophecy, of course, from Numbers 24, if you like to flip over there, from the man by the name Balaam. In verse 17 of Numbers 24, the Bible says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Now the second source that also came, of course, from the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Scriptures are Old Testament, was provided to them at minimum, and I would say at minimum, by the good man and teacher known as Daniel. I don't think that would necessarily be all that they would maybe have that had been passed along to them, especially those who had a desire to hear, to heed the Word of God, but certainly from Daniel, who was taken captive, of course, yet still honored the Lord and His Word in a faraway country and customs. He still honored the Lord. And by the way, Christianity, I know that wasn't called Christianity, but to say of the faith, Christianity was and still is very fluid. Very fluid. It can go anywhere. It can survive anywhere. any country and be a blessing. Not necessarily overthrowing the government as Islam calls for. In the final words of their esteemed prophet. You're welcome. That's a good place to say amen right there. That's an inside joke for those who weren't at the Christmas party. Daniel chapter 9 verse 24. Beginning there, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now Daniel had become a leader among these wise men of the east. He'd become the leader. Now, of the good group, the white hat kind, okay? Not those other kind. All right, so he would know the difference, I promise you that. And as such, he passed along, of course, the prophecies of God's words. And at times, these wise men would be among the groups of people that would be wanting to listen more to the Word of God and get some things very straight. And as a matter of fact, they had things more straight than the scholars of Jerusalem. Now, that's amazing. But they did. And not only them, but even in later times. They had it more right than those guys did. It's an amazing thing to study out of you, especially if you have an interest in such things in history. As a matter of fact, one writer said, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses the word magi for wise men when it says that Daniel was over the wise men. Daniel was over the magi. Now, not just any magi, certain of the magi, because corruption is universal. You can go anywhere in time and you can find corruption. So corruption didn't start after Daniel. It was already on the earth. Okay? Now, the timeline, of course, of Daniel 9 here provides the wise men a timetable for the Lord's coming, coupled with the star appearing in Numbers, and they make plans and work towards Jerusalem, the center of Israel. That's how they know. That's how they get started. So they listen. They listen to what they had. Number two, they learn. They sought more. They sought knowledge. They sought understanding. They wanted to learn more about God's Word. And of course, this one that was promised. So in other words, you could say they studied the Bible. And they wanted to learn more about the Bible. How about that? Isn't that a good reason to go to church? Want to know more about the Bible? Look at chapter 2 again, Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, these are religious crowd people. They gathered all them together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, wait, didn't they have the other prophecies? Yes. And they said unto him, at Bethlehem, Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now, obviously, these wise men, from the east did not have this portion of the Old Testament. They didn't have that particular portion. So they inquired. They studied it out. They wanted to pursue these things. And they were presented with, of course, the prophecy of Micah, which is listed for us in chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's only one. Only one can qualify to meet that description. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Now, one writer said, "Learn of me is a powerful invitation, primarily from Jesus Christ in the Bible in Matthew 11:29, meaning he wants all people to come to him, studying his teachings, studying the word of God, of course, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? Certainly. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, the Lord said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Many times a Christian doesn't find rest for the souls because they know not the scriptures that's there for them. Do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That, of course, comes through the word with the Spirit. So they not only listen, they learn. Number three, they labored to get to the Lord, to see him. Paul said that I may know him. Are you with me? That I may know him. There's a pursuit. There's a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Who is the righteous? The righteous one. The righteous one. They had a moving drive in their life to get closer to the Lord, to labor to see him in Matthew 2:2, saying, "Where is he? Where is he? Where is he?" Well, you don't ask where is someone unless you want to find them. They wanted to find the Lord. They wanted to be wherever he is. That's where I want to be. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is his name? Where his name has been placed in his church? Where is he? Where do I want to be? I want to be in church. I want to be in church. Where is he? They labored to see him, to be where his name was. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. So letter A, they saw a star in the east. Now, likely not the far east, but the east. All right, we think of like Ur of the Chaldees, okay? Babylon or Persian Empire, that region. But they saw the star in the east. And then letter B, the Bible says that they are come. In other words, they ended up a place where they were not before. So they are coming, meaning they are traveling and have traveled a long distance. That takes effort. That takes work. That takes provisions. That takes money. That takes planning. So I would say no one takes such a long trip without permission, especially in those different regions of that day with all of the potentates, how they controlled so much of the commerce and the traveling about. They did. Provisions, of course, and planning as well. So this was a trip of several hundred miles, and they didn't have a Cadillac to take them down a nice smooth asphalt highway. It likely took months of constant travel. Constant travel. And often such trips are not constant, especially if you're riding giddy up camel. They were broken up so that you could travel at more favorable times, or maybe when the robbers are not out. All kinds of things would interfere with traveling even today, but especially in ancient times. Ask the Apostle Paul on his church journeys, where he went, where he did not go the second time. So looking for favorable times, as when the pioneers, by the way, they went west. They went west, young men, they went west, but they did not leave St. Louis in November. You with me? All right, so you have to kind of piece these things together a little bit. So we really don't know how long they took for their time that they left their homes to the time they got to Jerusalem. We do know that from the time of Jerusalem on, it's a very short time, but we don't know how much time it was earlier than that. We also know that Jesus was a baby boy, not an infant, by the time they saw him, when they arrived at his side. We know definitely he was well below 2 years old because of the wicked decree of Herod the king wanting to destroy the Christ child. And so he would go up, I'm sure, not back in the ages if he's seeking to destroy Christ. So I would say he would have been well under 2 years old at this time. Also, with these wise men, you would need to understand, this was very much likely a caravan, a convoy, as Travis would say and did say last night. Wise men, these were highly, highly esteemed individuals, like kings, okay? That's kind of where the king idea come from. The Bible doesn't say kings, but they were kind of, the Magi were like kings. They had great power and sometimes even created coups against rulers and nations. That kind of power. Now, that's not our good guys, but that's other bad guys. But they would have a convoy. They would have a great caravan to go along with them. This would be, when they hit town, everyone would know, or they would soon know. Number four, we find that these wise men, they laid their treasures at the Lord's feet. Verse 11 of our text in Matthew 2, when they were coming to the house, they saw, you see, the young child, not the baby in the manger, but the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped Mary as the Son of God. Is that what it says? No, that's quite not what it says. With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. There's a difference between a him and a her. And this him is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, though he's a small boy. It's the Lord. And when they opened their treasures, not just their gifts, their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you probably heard lessons on this prophetically. God, of course, gold represents his kingship, and frankincense is deity, and priesthood, and myrrh, of course, the death, the coming death, the whole purpose. He came to seek and to save, to die on the cross, to save sinners from their sin. Our Lord added to their understanding of the Old Testament for all of us today when he spoke in Matthew 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we know these wise men had their heart in tune with the Lord our God. They wanted to be with him. They labored to be with him, and they labored to present their treasures to him. To him. Now these wise men did not bring these gifts or treasures for Herod the king. I'm sure Herod would have loved that. Here are these great, great men of great wisdom and science. And they have come to see me. And they've come to pay homage to me. And they came to bring all of these wonderful treasures for me. But no, that's not their question at all. Where is another? That's not what a wicked potentate wants to hear. And he certainly didn't. But it was for the King of Kings. Likewise, our treasures we present to the Lord demonstrate our allegiance and our support to Almighty God, the work of Christ on earth. And that is done through our New Testament church by the commandment of God. How about that? Amen. What's one of the best things we can do at Christmas time? Make sure our lives are right with God and right with His enterprise on earth. And that's by presenting not only ourselves, but our treasures unto the Lord. It's right here. Amen. Now, when I say things like that, the people who nod are people who give. The people who just, they, you know, got a different story. Number five, say amen. I'll move along from that. They worship the Lord, but that's not all. Get this now. These are men now. These are men. These are not little girls. These are not the lady folk. These are men, grown men, hair on the chest, men. Somebody said, you shouldn't say things like that. I just did. They're men. And they worship the Lord. Now get this, it's important. Publicly. Publicly. They're not into this, well, you know, camouflage Christian stuff. Oh, no, none of that. That's not real in the first place. A coward may attempt that, but a man of God would never. Look at verse 2 again to our text, Matthew 2:2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're asking Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? By the way, Mr. King, is not you. Right? It's not you, for we have seen his star in the east, not yours. You don't have one. And we are come to worship who? Him. Not you, Herod. Him. Look at verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This moving star, that's why some entertained that it might have been the Shekinah glory of God in movement, perhaps. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They are speaking directly to King Herod when saying this, we have come to worship Jesus Christ. These are men. They're not just saying this publicly. They're saying this to important people in the courts of government. No, they're saying this to the very king himself. Be it known unto you. I hear the three Hebrew children's voice echo in my mind. Be it known unto you, O king. Be it known unto you, O king. There's one king of glory. And they came to worship him. And him alone. Him alone. It's amazing. We have come to worship him. This one that is promised. And you haven't been promised. You just stepped in. You read about Herod. He just stepped in. But he was a king, to be sure. You know, distinction in our day is a dying quality. It really is. Like when a candidate for the bench of the highest court in our land can't define a woman. Well, there is a distinction between a man and a woman. And only second grade is needed to figure that out. Our politicians, pundits, new presenters, or news presenters, and even our now our influencers. That's, you got to add that one to the list today. The influencers. That probably the vast majority shouldn't be influencing anybody. They have bent over backwards to play up to the Muslims. Bent over backwards. Whose written doctrine, not necessarily themselves, but the written doctrine of Islam, is neither to love our God nor this nation. And that's a fact. An uncomfortable fact for even a few of you, as I can see. Yet finally, some have started to grow a backbone in our nation. I think of that song by Barbara Mandrell, unless I get it all wrong. It's been years, you know. I was country before country was cool. Did she do that? Yeah, I see a bunch of pagans in here too, you know. Yeah. Well, I was country before country was cool. You remember that? Some have now grown a backbone, at least in part, and they're starting to speak up. And I'm glad they are. I'm glad they are. If it's not too late to the dance. If it's not too... You're uncomfortable, but I'm trying to give you the truth. My job is to present to you truth. It's your job to open your mouth wide and receive it. Amen. You know, the Quran describes the Lord's birth, but does not include the story of the Magi or the wise men. I wonder why. What I've just presented to you, that's why. Now, had the wise men only worshiped the Lord in the home of Joseph, we would not be honoring them for their public worship. But it's through the testimony that they had to Herod the king that we see the type of boldness these great wise men have. And they wanted to honor and worship the king more than they wanted the king's reputation or their signature, his signature on their resume. He'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord. There is a difference between worship and public worship and service to God. And these were men. These were men. They say, well, they didn't have any weapons. Have you ever seen a stick? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. You don't travel through the type of country they traveled through with nobody having a weapon. Besides that, they were wise men. Amen. They could defend themselves. They were bold men. You with me? They were bold men. They were grown men. And I say that without apology. And I love women. I'm talking about men. The wise men who came and worshiped the Lord publicly were men. They were comfortable in their own skin. Amen. They worshiped the Lord publicly. They were leaders. But they were not the leader. And they'd come to worship the leader of all leaders. Not the king, but the King of Kings. And He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone deserves our treasures. Not our gifts, our treasures. He alone is our God. He alone is that seed promised so long ago. He alone is that prophet that should come. Hear ye Him. Learn of Him. Worship Him and Him only. So certainly come and behold Him, born the King of Angels. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's stand.